afternoon, and we would hope that those who testify would keep that in mind. We have a number of people in this different committees who would like to participate in this teleconference. At this time, we'll proceed to Anchorage with Dennis Stovall. Are you present?
He's approaching the mic, sir.
What did she say? He's approaching the mic, sir.
Thank you very much for allowing me a special time. I do have a classroom at 2530 4th grade here for the My name is Dennis Stovall. I'm an elementary teacher from Northwood School here in Anchorage. My wife and I recently went through a situation, actually a ridiculous situation, with a 1982 Buick that we own. Over our first year of ownership, we experienced the following problems. We had defective paint on the outside of our car. About a 3-inch by 4-inch section was bare metal, and it remained that way for 14 months. There were scratches on the interior. We had problems with our cooling system on 2 different occasions. We had our transmission brake on 2 different occasions. We had problems with our engine computer system. We had problems with our parking brakes. We had problems with our speedometer. We had problems with our turn signals. At one point, when I was driving through Anchorage, when I would roll down the windows, the window cranks would fall off my hand, and my hands would roll down. Over the first year of ownership, we went to the dealership on numerous occasions and left the car in the dealership for between, I believe, 40 to 45 days the first year. Out of the first 21 days we owned the car, it spent 18 days in the dealer. When we got frustrated with the lack of things that were done to correct the situation, so eventually we started writing letters. Over the next 5 months, we totaled up nearly 50 letters to Buick in the Portland regional office, to Buick in Michigan, and to Alaska Sales and Service here in Anchorage, asking for either a vehicle exchange or refunding our money. The Buick people would simply say they did not refund money on cars. On several occasions, it was stated to me, rubbed in, perhaps, is the way to put it, that Alaska has no lemon law, and they refused to exchange our vehicle. They refused to refund it. Finally, in November, they wrote us a letter offering us arbitration. The arbitration was to be held in Seattle, and the arbitration was to be binding on us, not on Buick. We fought and wrote letters to get the arbitration held in Anchorage, and it was held on January 20th. We eventually found out on the day of the arbitration, as a matter of fact, that the law had been misinterpreted to us, and the arbitration was actually binding on Buick. Eventually, we did win the case. But that was after 3 meetings with a private attorney, after I bought 6 printer ribbons for my printer to type that many letters. I spent $70 on photocopying. I sat last night and tried to figure out how much time was spent on this, and I guess anywhere from 90 to 110 hours, and that would probably be a very, very safe estimate that we spent working on paperwork for this car. It was a frustrating experience. Before I think any law becomes a law, I think that we have to ask 2 questions, and those are 2 questions I want to bring up on this lemon law. The first question is, who will the lemon law hurt? Well, in the case of our arbitration hearing, I did win it. I haven't got my money yet, but I will. But the dealers aren't paying anything. It's not coming out of the dealers of the Alaska Sales and Service. It's Buick that's paying for it. It's an outside manufacturer that's paying for the defect. Therefore, the dealers in Alaska really don't have anything to worry about. It shouldn't cost them anything. Incidentally, it came out in the paper the day before yesterday. General Motors just recorded a record $3.7 billion of profit. They seem to have mentioned that they can build a car, but once you buy it, it's yours, you're stuck with it. They will take it back under no circumstance, and yet they made $3.7 billion. The other question that would have to be asked is, who will the lemon law help? It's my opinion that any Alaskan citizen who's bought a new vehicle in good faith, and it's in good faith that the vehicle will be dependable and safe to operate, it will provide an avenue for compensation when the car is not safe, when the car is defective. The other thing that it will do is I think it will make the manufacturers a little more careful before they build a car. I think that sometimes the cars are rushed into production a bit too soon, or they aren't tested, or as cases recently came out with the GM X cars, They were selling a car that they knew to have defective brake problems. The second thing it will do is it will make the dealers a little more responsible when they service a vehicle. And I'll go back to my first experience. The third day I owned my car, my wipers broke. And I took it into the dealership. I couldn't drive it. It was during a period of heavy rain in Anchorage in the fall. So with a three-day-old car, it took them 17 days before my wipers were fixed. That's a little bit ridiculous. They had new cars a lot. They said they couldn't get parts, but they could have pulled a part off another car. At any rate, it is ridiculous, and I would like to see that eliminated. I would like to see the consumers be treated with a little bit more respect. I want to close by saying that I feel like the Alaskan people need this law, and the people that I have talked to want this law. This is an election year, and come November, I would like to be able to look at our legislators and be grateful to you and be thankful to you for passing a liberal law to protect us. The only recourse other than that would be to find someone in the long run who would support liberal law. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dennis. I'm sure the legislators from Anchorage had that message. I would like to just outline for you the fact, number one, that the Attorney General sent down a letter, a memo, a three-page memo here at the last hearing, saying, in fact, that the Department of Law endorsed the concept of a lemon bill and they would urge its passage. We have, I'm quite surprised at the fact that we have numerous communications from people in all areas of Alaska who have at one time or another had experiences similar to yours. Many of them, of course, weren't did not pursue it to the length that you have. But there is a considerable amount of interest now that there is something before the legislature to address that issue. I have one question. Just what responsibilities do you think the dealers have?
I think the dealerships are responsible for putting an honest effort into getting a car fixed in a timely manner. For instance, there was a 3-inch by 4-inch section of my door that was untainted, and I took in the car in 5 times, I believe, in the first year I owned it. And in those 5 times, every time I took it in, the first 4 times, they said they would take care of it, but it was never taken care of. On the 5th time I took it in, and I asked them to paint that part of my door, and the service rep came out and said, well, we can't paint it because it won't hold paint, which was false. It finally did hold paint 2 months later. I think that's a little bit absurd, and I think that the respect or fear, whichever you want to call it, because they're simultaneous, I think, of the lemon law will make them a little more careful to please their customers and to fix the car properly.
Thank you very much. Is there any other questions?
Let me make one. Dennis, this is Pat Rohde. We're on approximately our 4th draft of the bill, and I hope you'll get a chance to take a look at the last draft that we're working with and read through it carefully and make any comments. It's a fairly complicated topic, and the bill is one that I strongly support, and I hope we can get a bill out that will deal with the problem effectively. And I think it is important that you take a look at the bill and make any comments. Obviously, having been in the forefront of the problem, I think you're in a good position to make some comments on the various sections of the bill. I appreciate that, and you're welcome to communicate with me directly.
Thank you, Senator Rohde. I have looked at the bill. The only question I have is, it was my understanding that other states on the lemon law bills, that if the same thing breaks sometimes 2 or 3 times repeatedly in the first year, they offer you either replacement or your money back. And I noticed ours says 4 times for the same thing to be defective. I do have a question on that. I think the 30 days is, I question it, but I guess it would be fair.
Well, thank you. I might add for the record that Senator Rohde, Senator Pettijohn, Senator Mulcahy, and Senator Eliason are present at this particular hearing. And I'd also like to note that Connie Sipes of the Consumer Protection Division is present in the Anchorage office now to assist in any questions that we might have from the teleconference relative to the draft before us. You are there, aren't you, Connie?
Yes, she is.
Thank you. We'll go on to the Fred Marino.
Yes, sir. He's approaching the mic.
Senators, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Fred Marino. I'm the owner of Aero Volkswagen Anchorage. And I've come here today to represent the automobile dealers throughout Alaska, so I'm going to ask me to come and just indicate our view, our approach for the warranty consideration. So not to take up too much time, the rest of the dealers throughout the state of Alaska are in support of and favor legislation regarding warranty. We wish to assist and participate in the development of a functional law and legislation in this area. And we have done so. I think that the legislators or senators have in front of you the documents that we've sent. I think those are the only comments I have.
Thank you very much, Fred. We do intend to hear testimony on this bill today and have a workup session on the bill and try to bring something before the committee which would be acceptable to the vast majority of people who are interested in it. Any questions? Thank you very much. Can we go to Ketchikan?
Yes, Mr. Beckman, please. Good afternoon. My name is Paul Beck, and I'm here to testify as to some problems that I have had. I'm the owner of a 1981 Chevrolet pickup. I purchased this vehicle new in March of 1981, and I've had problems with the truck ever since it was new. I tried to get repaired through the dealers under warranty, and after many trips and repairs, by the local dealers. I was told that they couldn't find anything else wrong with it, and they weren't going to look any further or do anything else. And I told them I was going to get it fixed somehow, and they said, well, do whatever you have to do. And so with that in mind, I contacted the Consumer Protection Agency. And this is at the end of my 1 year warranty period. And I wasn't given much encouragement by the Consumer Protection Agency. They told me that it was difficult to get the company to act on such problems. And I proceeded with it, however, and Chevrolet responded favorably by sending a factory representative to town to check the vehicle. He drove the truck and agreed that I had a problem. He also agreed to repair, or that the company would repair the truck. And in my complaint to the Consumer Protection Agency, I'd asked to be reimbursed for some of my past expenditures. And he agreed to pay those also. After he agreed to pay or to have the truck fixed, I waited 6 or 8 months trying to get it fixed. And each time I called the local dealer, I was told that their machine that did their analysis on the engines was not working. They were waiting for a part on it. I was also told that that they weren't going to fix it after a certain period of time, and I'll elaborate on that a little bit more towards the end of my presentation. Once again, I contacted the Consumer Protection Agency and asked to take the truck to an independent repair shop. Sure, they agreed with this, and it was a verbal agreement with the through the Consumer Protection Agency, and I took the truck to Mike's Auto Lab. They found that I was having problems with the carburetor, and they worked on it. I had to take it back, I think, a total of 5 times, and I finally ended up replacing the carburetor on it altogether. The truck runs good now, but it has taken almost 3 years to get that done. It'll be 3 years next month. I've not received 1 cent from Chevrolet, even though they agreed to pay some of my back expenses that I had submitted through the Consumer Protection Agency. And the problems with this truck were all associated with the engine. It ran very rough, it missed, and it didn't have any power at all. In fact, I couldn't pull a bolt. I had just a small bolt, and I couldn't even pull it out of a launching ramp without slipping the clutch. And because of this lack of power, I wore out a clutch at 16,000 miles. And I had it replaced, and now at 30,000 miles, my next clutch is also shot and badly in need of replacement. Now that the engine is repaired and it seems to be running good and I have power, I don't expect that to happen again anyway soon. But with the engine missing, I've had a number of things done. I've had all of the valve lifters replaced on one side of the engine. It's a V8, by the way. I've had the fuel pump replaced. And at Shirley's suggestion, I had the gear ratio changed, or they changed the gear ratio when we were in, so that would help. It still hasn't, it still didn't help us. And it seemed like every time I went in, there was a tune-up, which, and there was spark plugs put in, which after it was out of warranty, I was paying for. In fact, I think I was paying for those even when it was under warranty. I finally got the carburetor replaced, and it seems to have solved the problem. All of the work that's been done on this truck was done by Chevrolet dealers, except the recent work on the carburetor and replacing the carburetor. I've had almost 3 years of frustration and periodic downtime in repair shops. The last time I had it in the shop, I was down for 2 weeks waiting for parts. This is all well documented with copies of repair bills and letters written to the Consumer Protection Agency. At this point, I don't know how I'm going to come out with Chevrolet. They have agreed to pay, and I haven't billed them on this last bill round. I amount almost $2,000 in repairs, in addition to those repairs that were done under warranty. And during the second year of warranty, I was paying a $100 deductible on repairs that I had done. I feel that Chevrolet does settle my frustration and downtime. I can absorb that, but I feel that something like the bill that you have pending would help in future instances, and a person would have to go through with all of the lost time and downtime and frustration. Even now, after what I've gone through with that truck, I don't like the truck. And I was glad to sell it back to Chevrolet. I really think that this lemon law is needed. It should speed up the process of getting new vehicles repaired or replaced. And I would just like to relate one instance of what I went through while I was trying to get the vehicle repaired. After Chevrolet had agreed to fix the truck, I'd been calling every 2 weeks to try to get it in the local shop. And I was always told the same thing, that the part hadn't come in for the engine analysis machine. But the last time I called, I was told that the maintenance foreman was no longer there, and that they weren't going to do anything else with my truck. They said that they had spent a lot of money and time looking for my problem. So I mentioned I didn't know the foreman there, the maintenance foreman was the one that was with the Chevrolet factory representative. And told him that Chevrolet had agreed to fix it. And he told me that if Chevrolet wanted it fixed, they could send someone to town and tell them what was wrong and they would fix it. But they weren't going to spend any more money or time on it. He said he had a family to feed and they had already spent lots of money on my truck and they weren't reimbursed by the company for looking for the problems, but they were only reimbursed for the actual repairs that they made. And so this is when I requested to take the truck to another repair shop through the Consumer Protection Agency. And Chevrolet agreed to this, and I guess if Chevrolet comes through, I don't have too many arguments with them over the time and over the frustration that I have gone through with this vehicle over the past 3 years. With that,
let's conclude my testimony. I'll be glad to try to answer any questions. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Any questions by committee? I have one short question. Did the dealer provide another vehicle for you to use while your car was in the shop?
Negative. I've never had another vehicle. I would just leave it. And I don't think I ever took it in without a stand overnight.
Thank you very much. Do we have Les Hyatt? Ketchikan, please.
Yes, I'm Les Hyatt, and I would like to testify in 100% favor of the lemon law bill in Alaska. I'll make my presentation as brief as possible. I've had a running battle with the local dealer their Southeastern letters for approximately 3 years in addition to own the 1980 citation. And that's well very much on that. You're probably well aware of the multitude of recalls that General Motors had out on that particular automobile anyway. One of the most significant things that I ran into when I was trying to get it repaired under warranty was that one of the partsmen that was there at the time told me that we will take care of our cars first, meaning very plainly that they'll take care of the cars that they're sold first. So, last April, my wife and I decided to buy a new car. We bought a 1983 Celebrity that was actually a demonstrator from Southeastern Motors. And we went through some lengthy discussions and soul searching before we decided to buy here in Southeastern. We had previously bought the Citation South. And we felt that that technically had a detrimental effect on getting repairs done on it in a timely manner. So we decided that we would pay even up to $1,000 for it, as we did for a current car that we have from Southeastern Motors, with the idea that we'd be guaranteed some good service. Maybe we were a little bit too naive, and maybe we missed a good range of stones for the cost of them growing for the building, steel and coal, and but we, I guess, were swayed a little bit in that respect, and the fact that we would buy the car from them, then we would be guaranteed the service. The first time it rained in Ketchikan, which you go there quite often, we noticed a puddle of water about an inch and a half deep between the feet that runs and puts the floor area in the front of the car back into that area. So I flagged in flight, had to bail the car out before it could do it. So we got it back through and we were going to go back down the first part of the game. It was supposed to take it back 9 points and they were in six. And so it was far late after the final fix was made several different times. Now, this morning, back in November 29th, I figured that I had been more than patient in regards to this situation. So I wrote to the regional AAA person office in Bellevue, Washington, and at least that did seem to get the attention of the people here. They were things. At that point, to be a little bit more cooperative, but then I could not get the car in again until January 3rd. And when I made the arrangements to get the car in, I was asked specifically, well, it was even before that, I asked Mr. Williams, one of the owners of the Chevrolet dealership here, what they were going to do. Well, they were going to take all of the insides out of the seats, the upholstery, and the foot off and other things to try to find where they can repair it. And I asked them, basically, do you have the expertise here to do that? They assured me that they did. Well, it was about 3 weeks after that, finally, that I initiated again an attempt to get my car in a good fit. And at that time, he told me that they had canned the person who had done all of the previous work on it. That was the expertise that they had to at the time that he pulled it 2 weeks earlier. And had a new man that would get the job done. So I made arrangements to get the car in the 3rd of January. That was the 9th time. The car was there from the 3rd of January to the 7th. 5 days that time. That made a total of approximately 15 days. 14 at that time, because that was the 8th time. And it was 13 days at that time, and then the 9th time, a couple weeks later, I had it in another day. So it makes a total of about 15 days of filling the shop since we bought the car in either the 19th or 21st of April, 1983. And the car is still not fixed. So I had an appointment this morning with Gray Beard, who is a service representative for General Motors Corporation, who is now residing in Anchorage. And I asked him specifically, are you now living in Anchorage? He said, yes, I've been here a few months. He said also that the company looked at my expense account and made trips that I was making to Alaska, et cetera, and they decided they needed a full-time representative in Alaska, service representative in Alaska. So this indicated something very clear to me, and it has to do with two things. Well, the major thing has to do with quality. They decided that they had to go to the expense to have a full-time person in Alaska because there had so many complaints from consumers about either the quality of the cars manufactured by GM or the quality of service that is being given by the their representatives, their car dealers in the state. And it was obvious to me that both of these things are greatly lacking here. Now, the main reason that I'm really in favor of the women law bill is that I think that will be a positive outcome, not only to the consumer, but I think that in the long term it will be a positive outcome for the dealers themselves. I think that it will guarantee that by a certain length of time, or times that the problem has been worked on, that the person is either going to be reimbursed for his car or get a new one in exchange for it. This is going to cause car dealers to have an incentive to hire qualified personnel to give the service that they advertise about to the consumer. The second thing is going to guarantee, too, I feel anyway, that the manufacturer is going to start really sitting up and taking notice about the quality of their vehicles and start a better control in that respect. So I think that in the long run, it's going to be a very positive thing, not only for the consumer, but for the dealer, too. Another example, I was talking with some people this morning and told my father, well, every time that one person or another person talks about the problems that they have with the dealer, the black eyes of the dealer, it's going to hurt his service, it's going to hurt his business in the long run. And if he can avoid that, and I think the women law will help him avoid that, because he is going to benefit in the long run. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Les. Any questions from the committee? Thank you again. Can we go back to Anchorage? I might note that we have at least a dozen or more people who would like to testify in different sites throughout the state, and I would hope that maybe we could sort of limit the testimony. Could we go to David Garrison, please?
He's approaching the mic, then.
Mr. Garrison, the committee have any questions? Thank you again. Could we go to Anchorage or Debbie Turner, please?
One moment, Senator. She is approaching the line. My name is Debbie Turner. I have before me a folder of repair bills and problems with a 1981 AMC Eagle. Listening to the testimony that I've heard in the past, half an hour. So it appears that all of us have basically the same problem, which is that we have a vehicle that has multiple problems that have particularly severe a number of times in records that we care properly. And their answer is, I'm sorry, we can't do anything else in the future, and we'll be more than happy to find you here. My car has been in and out of the shop. At least, I have a list here of at least 39 problems with my car. I keep it talked to Detroit, to the representative, and have gotten no response from anybody. The last time was over a week ago, on Wednesday, I talked to the representative who said he would get back to me, and I've not yet heard from him again. I have a list here of repair bills totaling about $1,500, plus at least $200 worth of towing bills on my car. I am a single woman who depends upon my car, and when you buy a new car, you expect dependability and service, and I have gotten none of them for this car. I broke down on the LCS, 41 degrees below zero in Ames Junction, and sat there for 3 days while they decided that the rear bearing on my car had no grease in it. Now, I think this bill is very good for a number of reasons. One, it protects the consumer. Two, it protects the dealership. They have told me, too, that they have spent enough time and enough money on my car, and they are not being reimbursed by the manufacturer. This lemon law then makes the manufacturer responsible for the car. Therefore, it will be saving the dealership money as well as the consumer money, and again, put quality control on the manufacturers to make sure that they are putting out cars that are functional. With the cost of a car nowadays, it would seem that you should at least be able to expect the car to work. And to be without your car for months on end is ridiculous. AMC did keep my car for at least 30 days, and after I complained about the fact that I had no car, they gave me a loan of car. Then we had a problem with dealers, which from Pioneer Automotive to Daniela Motors, and I was without my car again for another 2 weeks while they tried to decide what was going on. And they've never been able to find a problem with my car. I have two, what I consider major problems. One is a front-end wobble, and that other is a rear-end plug. I replaced one clutch on my car, and now the owner is going to tell me that the second clutch, which is less than 6 months old and has less than 5,000 miles on it, is again going. And they try to tell me that's the way I drive the clutch in my car, but I've been driving my clutch in my car for over 16. So I don't think that that's the other thing, because there's also this rear end plug that keeps on pulling on whatever the transmission or transportation, whatever the problem is, they can't find. So I think it's really important that this will be passed, not just to protect the consumer, but also to protect the dealer. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Turner. Is there any question for the committee? Could we go on then to Kodiak?
Yes, this is Laura Wiener from Kodiak, Alaska. I want to speak on this lemon law. I'm also a delegate in lemon law, because other states have it. I've had nothing but lemons ever since I've lived up here 20 years. I've been buying the Ford cars. This last one I ordered in 1978, I received it in 1979, and I did not start using it until June 1st of 79. And of course, I had to wait for a good rain period, and then my car just swam in water. I take it in, they have it, you know, overnight, the whole day and overnight. I have to walk home. They don't even offer to drive you home. And I have to walk 3 miles to get home. And then they say, well, maybe we found it. We put all kinds of gook on the outside. And we took the mask up and put all kinds of gook on the inside. So evidently, that gook is a dissolvable gook. I kept taking it back, but I was still swimming, and at the runabout, and at the back end, it was running with water, too. So you always have a hump, so there's no way that it can go up into the trunk. It's going to have to come from the full, front, middle, whatever. But I got it on the whole passenger side. I still got the car, and I took that car in 5 different times. I had to wait so long, because they said, well, we want to wait for the representative to come from Seattle. Okay, fine, we wait. By then they say, well, now your warranty ran out. I said, well, Buster, it ain't my fault. It's your fault. I said, you're the one who's delayed me with a representative because you don't have qualified people here to take care of this. And I took them out numerous times to look at the driver in front. Driver's side in their front. You can hear it. It's still bad. And they say, oh, there's nothing wrong. We can't find anything wrong. And I say, there's got to be something. It's a terrible noise. No, and they never fix that. And as many times as I took it in with the water, that still isn't fixed. And I'm still swimming in water, and my mask I put on top, of course, they freeze to it in the wintertime. And I take it in my brush and thaw it out and put heaters in to dry it out. And I don't think this is the responsibility of the buyer. It's just that they give you the runaround continuously. If you go somewhere else to buy a car, and in this town they know we're stuck on an island, they treat you so bad because you bought it from a different dealer, and they don't want to stand behind it, which they have to stand behind it because they are state people. But see, I have a daughter and son that bought theirs elsewhere. Well, I have bought mine here, and I'm treated just as bad as they're treated. And I think we need this lemon law to get this straightened out, because I have had nothing but grief in the 20 years that I've lived here and all the vehicles I have bought.
Thank you, Mrs. Arndt. Are there any questions by the committee? Thank you again. Are there any further testimony from Kodiak?
Mr. Chairman, this is the moderator, and there is no further testimony from Kodiak.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Glenn Allen, James Sparks.
Yeah, this is James Sparks from Glenn Allen. I represent the Copper River Native Association located in Copper Center. As of yet, we have not had very many problems with our new vehicles, other than the fact we had some small switches go out. And I feel most of the problem has been with the mechanics themselves located in Anchorage. I am the mechanic and maintenance person up here, and what we usually do is just purchase our parts and put them in ourselves. A fellow worker of mine had a Buick last year, and he brought it in, I think, 9 times to have a part fixed. I believe on the 9th time, one of the mechanics had lowered the garage door on top of the car and crushed the roof. That is how he finally got another car. And I'd like to say that this friend of mine can literally talk your pants off. He knows what he's doing. Also, another problem I see, I've got a 1979 Chevrolet pickup. It's got 58,000 miles, and it's a 5.7-liter diesel. I bought this truck expecting a long engine life, since I drive 50 to 60,000 miles a year. I have talked to a few of the GM representatives, and they say that I'm at fault because of bad maintenance procedures. When I bought the truck, I bought it secondhand, and I checked out the engine, I pulled the oil pan, I looked at all the bearings, and the engine was brand new. Then after approximately 15,000 miles, I developed an extremely loud knock, which is attributed to like a burnout valve, and they are blaming that on me. I would like to say, I think a major problem that we have is the service representatives up here and the mechanic. As my friend put it, Mr. Goodrich is not. I think the lemon law is very well put together. I think later on, if service representatives and the managers of the dealerships in town could look for better mechanics, I think a lot of these problems, we would not have these returning of 18 to 30 times to fix one problem. That is all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, James. Are there any questions from the committee? Are there any further, is there any further testimony from Glenn Allen?
No, there is no one else.
Thank you. We'll go to Saldatna. Robert Byers.
Problem that I had with my car is still not in it, although we had an accident. In regards to the lemon law, I wholeheartedly support it. However, I think that there's a lot of portions in it which is not strict enough.
Okay, testifying now.
I have the recent copy of the bill on page 2 and line 14. For the same non-conformity, has been subject to repair 4 or more times by a manufacturer or distributor, its agent or its dealer during the term of the warranty or the 1-year period, etc. Well, in the Bible, if you get hit once, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. Play a baseball game, 3 strikes and you're out. I had the accident after the 3rd repair. Same problem on my car. On the same page at 19, for a total of 30 more business days during the warranty term or the 1-year period referred to, I'd like to see the inclusion of time is of the essence. This is stems particularly from a personal opinion. On January the 20th or thereabouts of this year, through a court order, my car had the power steering pump, the hydro boost assembly, the steering gear transferred onto a similar Cadillac Seville. The previous Cadillac Seville had been tested and driven, and there was found nothing wrong with the brakes or the steering. The complete changeover was done in less than 8 hours, yet it took 47 days to repair before release on a late Friday afternoon of my car. And when I did get the car back, I spent Saturday and Sunday in Anchorage. Monday morning, I took it back again to the dealer. I spent another 4 hours approximately at the dealership. I got told everything was all right. Everything was new. It was stiff, so it would be a little bit firm. Well, when I finally woke up, by the time I had got to Cooper Landing at 5:30 approximately on the car's clock radio, the accident report said 4:30. I had been in a very serious accident with the same car, same day of left, the same dealer. One of the things that was told that I overheard on the day that the assembly, the complete entire assembly, three units plus the hoses, so none of the system was open, was that the GM engineer told me, well, not necessarily told me, but I overheard him say that it did not matter how far down a brake pedal goes towards the floor as long as it stops the vehicle. I observed his car prior to the change, the brake pedal went down approximately half an inch. However, after the steering gear, the steering pump, and the hydro boost assembly was installed on the new vehicle, the brake pedal went right to the floor and stayed there. The brake pedal could be depressed by two fingers and it would stay there. I don't think that anybody should have to put up with a brake pedal going almost to the floor before you can stop it. This was the third time, actually the fourth time, that this unit had been repaired. A very important unit. It shouldn't have had to have been repaired the first time, let alone the second time, let alone a third time. It should be a portion that reaches excess. Okay, I think that you have another portion on page 2 at 3. Says it is an affirmative defense. Well, I think that there should also be added not an affirmative defense. Repairs of a vehicle which leave a driver owner stranded, that could be the Alcan Highway, that could be between here and Anchorage, that could be in Timbuktu, you shouldn't have a car that leaves you stranded. If you're in the middle of the Alcan Highway, you're not going to find Mr. Goodwrench out there. You won't find a dealer authorized service facility out there. Okay, repair of a vehicle that has created or will create a life health hazard. Repair of a vehicle which is beyond a preset distance from manufacturers, dealer, seller representative, or authorized repair station. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're not going to have Mr. Goodrich flying out to fix your car. It just doesn't happen. I also think that the oil, gas, fuel, and air filters could be done by a service station or qualified repair facility, not necessarily GM, because the prices that I find are about quadrupled of what you would have at a repair facility. I have got photocopies and documentation, probably approaching 400 pounds on this car, for the problems that I have incurred with it. Taking the car back and forth to Anchorage 14 to 15 times to get oil leaks started or stopped. Having the car come down from Anchorage, 2 days of driving going over to Kenai, and I have a glow plug or a fuel injector pop out when it was just previously worked on a few days before by Alaska Sales and Service. This to me means that somebody doesn't know what they're doing. If I sound irate, yes I am. I spent better than $20,000+ on this car when I bought it. I had a 68 Cadillac, a 73 Cadillac, and its new piece of junk, the 78, doesn't even fit to look at the exhaust pipe. I have numerous or a great deal of documentation that this is happening all across the United States. Not only hurts people who have car accidents, it's going to hurt the economy because people are getting tired of buying junk, getting tired of buying lemons. So they're going to start buying foreign cars, or they're going to buy a car that is not going to leave them stranded, does not need to go to a dealership 2 to 3 times a month, periods of time exceeding 40, 45 days. On December the 1st, 1980, I took this car of mine into a private appraiser in Anchorage. On the 3rd of December, I had the steering gear lock up. But where I couldn't steer it, I couldn't even stop the car. I finally managed to get it to Alaska Sales and Service. That's the 3rd of December. By the 11th of December, I get a letter from GM's attorneys that tell me I cannot be satisfied. I am dreaming. There is nothing wrong with the car. There is no improper design. 39 days after that letter was written, I had a car accident with that same car. That's ridiculous. That's ludicrous. GM is very good at delaying. They're not going to tell people that you face a statute of limitations. They're not going to advise you anything of what your rights are or how many problems they have. I was told when I had this car accident that the front end of my car was out of alignment. I have better than 20,000 miles on the tires. They aren't even uneven. The front end of the car was aligned every 6 months. I got told I was speeding. This car has wire wheels on it. Going over about a 14-foot embankment, I managed to break only 12 or 13 spokes. I had a small crack in the left lower windshield portion. I got told I didn't know how to maintain my car. About 2 or 3 trips a month to a dealership in Anchorage for a repair, and I found some service bills for parts that I'd ordered and spent $600 in less than 4 months on the same car over and above what I was spending taking it to Anchorage. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that enough is enough. It's been shown more that we do need something like this. That the manufacturer can design and put together a car that doesn't have these kind of problems. And they shouldn't be forced into doing it. I would like to see the State Attorney General's office to have the responsibility and authority to monitor any and all arbitration procedures and the results thereof. I'd like to see that they have the responsibility and authority to issue an injunction against a manufacturer, a deal sales outlet, which attempts to sell and or service motor vehicles which do not conform to advertisements or statements made to consumers, which vehicles may be classed by law as lemons. I'd like to see them have the responsibility and authority to cancel business licenses of national and foreign corporations which are found guilty of doing business against public policy, public safety, against the public economic good. Numerous times I've taken this car of mine back to Fort Anchorage, it sure cost me a bundle. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. The committee is in receipt of numerous documentations you've sent down this past month or so, and we certainly appreciate your input into this process. Are there any questions by the committee? Could we go to Linda Logwich, please? Jim Conklin?
Yeah, I'm Jim Conklin. I had an 81 Chevy Caprice wagon, diesel, and it was a good car, so I stuck with the diesel. I traded, got an 083 about 4.5 months ago, and it's been nothing but a headache ever since I got it. They had it back into them 7 times and 6,800 miles. And they claim they put 5 new fuel pumps on this car, and it still ain't right. It's just one thing after another on it. I don't know. I think I let them help out a bunch on it. And as far as Linda Lockridge's rig, it's an 81 Olds. She bought it from Hutchings, and it's been back and forth to Hutchings several times, and they just keep messing with it and keep it for 4 or 5 days at a time. They had it 41 days at one time. The transmission went out of it. Gets down to getting 16 miles a gallon on a diesel, and so is this 83 of mine. There's just got to be something done. And well in favor of that. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Conklin. Any questions by the committee? Could we go to Matthew, please? Gloria Kenyon?
I'm here. I'm really ashamed of this lemon law because we bought a car in March of 83. We have had it back 25 times plus for numerous problems, but most of the problems were put in at the time they were supposed to be being repaired. They would try to fix one thing and put a problem of another kind into the car, which they've done for several people out in this area. They now have decided, after I have raised all kinds of fits in there, that my transmission is slipping, has been since we got the car, and just now I have 20,250 miles on it. And they decided that that must be what the problem is. It took four times to fix my speedometer cable, which is a problem on a lot of the cars out in this area. We got ours from the 13 Motors. And the thing of it is, you go in and you have to make several trips in there to get it fixed, and you take abuse from them. They question whether you really need this work done or not. And it was told to me that they were going to be glad when I had 12,000 miles in my car so they didn't have to look at me anymore. They just don't really want to face up to it, and they don't have mechanics that are factory trained, and so my car has been a victim of their experimental tendencies, and I just really think that we need something to protect us. I talked to them the other day again, and they went for a ride and confirmed that I have a problem, but said that they would call the factory and see what could be done about it, and I haven't heard anything since. And I live out in Big Lake, so it's a 15-mile trip every time I come and go. I have to leave my car overnight each time. They don't give you cars to drive home because they said insurance doesn't take care of that. And so you have to get home or get back any way you can, plus being out of fields. And when you get back, 9 times out of 10 your vehicle doesn't work when you take it home. I haven't been charged for this. They tried one time and heard me from the front door to the back, so they decided that was a bad deal. So I haven't been charged each time I've gone in there. But you go home, and it takes you probably 3 or 4 hours down the line from being so mad. And really, you know, if you don't take it to them, your warranty is no good. If you take it to them, 9 chances in 10, your car won't be fixed when you take it home. They told me the other day that the warranty was good on mine as long as they knew what the problem was, whether it had 30 or 40 or 50,000 miles on it. But the fact of the matter is, they don't know what's wrong with it, really, or it would have been fixed by this time. Either that, or they don't have competent help to fix it. And I told them that, and they told me they had the best mechanics in the state, which he has been working on my car now for months and hasn't got it fixed yet. He was one of the newer mechanics they got. And people out here are just victims. We don't have any recourse but to take it to them. And so I support this lemon law completely. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Kenyon. Are there any questions by the committee? Is there any further testimony from Matt Sue?
No, Mr. Chairman, we have no one else to testify.
Thank you. We'll return to Anchorage. Sig Murphy, please.
He's approaching the microphone.
Gentlemen, my name is Sid Murphy, and they're sitting with me playing Trex. We decided if you would allow us, that we should be together.
What is the attorney?
Okay, Senators, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yes, I have plenty of sites with me. We have been reviewing the verdicts of the various proposed bills, and we think we've come up with a compromise.
Could you...
Do you wish to go through it now with us, or do you wish to discuss it at a later date?
No, I think we're discussing the bill before us. We're not changing the bill at this particular time, and you will be available to work with her at a later date.
Okay. That's correct.
Yes, thanks very much. If you wouldn't mind waiting, we'll go on to public testimony.
That's fine.
Thank you very much. Maureen Kennedy, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Maureen Kennedy. I'm the director of the Alaska Public Interest Research Group. ACPR does research and advocacy on economic and social issues and has over 400 movements statewide. We're well supportive of the concept of women's power legislation, though we support the language embodied in the original version of that of the current version. Nevertheless, I was pleased to hear that ministry representatives are satisfied with the committee substitute that I think the version of the two. We'd like to see, however, the following changes made before the bill is passed out of committee. First, the manufacturer or dealer should be required to fix the car until it conforms to both the express warranty and the implied warranties of merchantability and fitness for purpose. There's plenty of precedent for this in the Federal Mind and Loss Warranty Act and the United States Women Car Law. As the bill is now worded, only problems with materials or workmanship must be resolved while design defects that substantially impair the car's future value, and so need not be fixed by the dealer or manufacturer. If a manufacturer produces a car with a design defect that has the same impact on the owner as a problem with materials or workmanship, that is, that the car is in the shop for 30 working days and that it takes more than 4 months to repair, then the company should have the obligation to replace the car. Overall, the car should do what it's supposed to do, even if the problem is with the specifications rather than the production. In Part B of the bill, the owner of the vehicle should be able to choose between a replacement car and a full refund. Car owners who must be working on the car level will probably have little faith in the model and perhaps the manufacturer after the ordeal. They should be entitled to a refund if they wish, rather than a replacement car, which may be more palatable from the perspective of the dealer or the manufacturer. We're pleased that Part F, the owner of full disclosure at resale, has been added to the bill. In Part I, the dispute settlement procedure should comply rather than substantially comply with the provisions of 16 CFR Part 703. Moreover, this section should expressly say that no member of the arbitration committee can be a manufacturer, distributor, or dealer of cars. The state that passed the first running car law, Connecticut, is having substantial problems with this portion of this law, and the bill should tighten up the language that's been introduced this session. The bill should include a requirement that the manufacturer give notice in the express warranty of owner's rights under any arbitration procedure that's been set up, and also the running car law, including the deadlines for action. So if a car owner starts having problems,